Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Like to have more resilience, the ability to bounce back from adversity. Now, much of the scientific research on resilience is focused on how to build it up in children. But how about for grown-ups? What if you weren't taught resilience as a child, or don't know how to do it well? Is it too late? Or is it something you can build up even in midlife? And on the line now to tell us more, we have psychotherapist Ronan Johnston. Ronan, you're very welcome to the show.
How are you, Dom? Good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. So this whole idea of resilience, surely as we get older, we get a bit more brittle and a bit more cowering, do we? Or is there a chance to get a bit more comfortable in our own skin and be more resilient?
Yeah, you know, you're quite right. It is quite possible to get more brittle as you get older and more set in your ways and all that kind of thing. But actually, a lot of the recent research has shown is that actually we're much more teachable than we think we are. And that actually we are much more adaptable, and actually part of our kind of staying well, if you like, and that's what resilience ultimately is, that ability to kind of a bounce back ability, if you know what I mean, is based on our ability to just, to be able to kind of adapt to new things. And even though we may not feel particularly adaptable, most of the recent research would show that actually we're more adaptable than we think.
So we've got a chance to actually learn. So an old dog can learn new tricks. I mean, that phrase
very
is wrong.
So. Yeah, exactly. The interesting thing is that if you think about things, now, again, like you were saying, we've been talking a lot about, and mostly people come to be going, what about the kids? My son or my daughter and this and that. I don't know if you heard the news this morning, actually, is that the latest set of suicide data in is actually telling us that, in fact, what we were really worried about, young male suicide, it's actually moved to middle-aged male suicide now,
nice.
44 to 53 age group.
Wow.
So actually, this is really, really, it's really important that we get a hold of this. The qualities of middle age, we have, the things that we're able to do, we've a better ability to regulate our own emotions. That's definitely true, because as we all know, when we were in our teens and early 20s, everything was very high and then very low. As we get older, we get better at doing that. We have perspective, because we know that we actually are going to recover from things because we've recovered from things in the past. And finally, and this is really interesting, our concern about the next generation, our concern about the younger people.
Mm.
These are three things that we can use, that are our ability to regulate emotions, our perspective gained, and then the concern for the future generations. All those three things can work together to really give us a kind of resilience. And if we just put, I'm going to give you six things.
Okay.
We might not get through them all today, but I'm going to give you six things that will really help. And particularly if you're over 35, if you're, and you're thinking, is this it now? Is this my life? Is this what I've got?
Is this as good as it gets?
is this as good as it gets? Exactly. These are some things you can put in place for yourself.
Okay, and I've got a few notes from here. Find your inner Tigger. This is a fantastic idea. Does that mean I can pounce on people?
Yeah, well, actually, it's about practicing optimism.
Okay.
So first of all, we have to remember that sometimes optimism is actually, it's partially genetic. That's why you sometimes will know children are born and some of them are really optimistic and some of them are a little bit glum, and it's not been socialized into them. They just had it in their blood,
Right.
But actually, a big part of it is also learned. Mm. So if you were a kind of born into a family of yours, you can still find your inner Tigger, You can kind of go, okay, optimism doesn't mean ignoring the reality of a dire situation, but it's actually training yourself. And this is the thing. It's so tempting if you're an Eeyore. It's so tempting to kind of go into, this will probably end up really bad. Do you remember there was a guy on the Fast Show? Knowing my luck, I'll end up falling into that hole over there. It's about 10 feet away from me, but he still falls into it.
Yeah, oh, that's brilliant.
So in a way, it's like going, actually, I must. It's like, this is a little bit like going to the gym. It's like using a muscle you haven't used very often. I will recover from this is a hard thought when you are used to saying, I'll never recover from this.
Yeah.
But start doing it, And I think really the best way to do it is, rather than saying the simple, I will, you could say, you start by acknowledging the situation. Look, this is tough. I've just lost my job. I've just lost my marriage. I've just, lost my house. you know, really big things, you know. But this is an opportunity to rethink my life goals and find out what really is going to work for me and what really makes me happy. Now, it leaves, you know, for the EOR, it leaves it open, first of all, to acknowledge the pain, but it also leaves it open to acknowledge that not everything necessarily is going to turn out absolutely brilliantly, but it also leaves it open to say something really positive might come from this.
Yeah, just like Tigger. Fantastic.
Just like Tigger, exactly.
Dancing on the tail.
The second thing we do, so that's your practicing your optimism. So that's really, you know, and a kind of, you get up in the morning and you go, and you feel it, you know, you could feel it like from the moment you wake up, a kind of a glumness descending. Mm. And the first thought is, what if I just change that thought? So the second thing is actually to do with that. And it says, it's basically to rewrite your story. There's a particular guy I'm quoting here. His name is Dr. Charney, and he has been studying resilience. You know, he's written a book called The Science of Mastering Life's Greatest Challenges. And he was interesting because he had studied resilience as a social scientist for 25 years. And in the middle of this, he's shot. He goes into a store and he's shot.
Oh, wow.
He's a victim of a shooting. And he said suddenly he had to actually practice resilience, you know.
Yeah.
But the rewriting, we call it reframing, actually, in the business, where you have to go, I need to think about this situation and focus on something else within it. Now, that's not necessarily going to come naturally to you, but it's very, very helpful. For him, he was a trauma victim, and he didn't know if he was going to be able to get himself back. But he said, I can bring something here. Like a lot of people, I can be a role model. You know, I have thousands of students watching my recovery. This gives me a chance to teach from what I've learned. And that really helped him, you know. Now, it mightn't necessarily help you, but, you know, say, for instance, if you're in a situation, like I said, if you've lost something really important to you, somebody's died, maybe you've lost a job, maybe you've, you know, in a separation, something really terrible has happened. Just the thought that somewhere in the back of your mind, I may be able to reevaluate some things and figure out things that haven't worked for me, and think that and figure out the things that might work for me better next time. Simply that, the simplicity of that, actually can help. It's just the beginning of a positive thought, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. Well, also, you got to learn from the person who got shot. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting that this is a guy who has studied resilience in a kind of, you know, ethereal, out there kind of way, and certainly he was studying data, but at the same time, now he's in it. Now he's actually going, will I recover from this? What is it going to be? It reminds me, you know, resilience is something, we have body resilience in the sense that we get a cold, you know, I get a cold every year, you know, and I recover from it within days. I've had some serious injuries at stages, and I recover from them.
Yeah.
So we can think of those things, the times when we were sick, and go, oh yeah, actually, you know. So body resilience can be quite useful, because we take for granted that our body will be resilient, but it's emotional resilience that we struggle with, you know.
Mm.
And one of the things that I would use, and not just for resilience, but generally, is a thing called the three Ps. And when somebody is in a very deep rut, you know, now it may be depression, it may be high anxiety, maybe a lot of things, but I always say, ask yourself the three P's. And the three P's are, is this personal? In other words, you know, we have a terrible tendency to blame ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
I must have done something wrong there. I couldn't possibly, I must have made some wrong choices. I must have taken the wrong job. Or when I did, or I mustn't have, I didn't go for the right job. Or, you know, I should have spent that money on such and such a thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or if only I had said such and such a thing, I wouldn't have lost my marriage. If only I hadn't worked so hard. You know, these are the things that we do. And maybe all of those are at least partially true.
Hmm.
But if we blame ourselves, what we're doing is we're making the entire problem personal.
Hmm.
And if we ask, is it personal? That person who slighted me on the street, was it personal? Was it about me? Or was there something going on inside them?
Hmm.
Were they having a problem? Were they having a bad day? It mightn't have been to do with me at all. They might have even seen me.
Yeah.
You know? So the first thing is personal. So is it personal? And the minute you get a possibly not, maybe it's, this is not about me, that helps. Immediately the feeling of glumness or sorrow can start to move. The second thing is it's pervasive. And that's like, I've lost my job. Does that mean I'm going to lose every job I ever get? No, of course it doesn't. Because what's happening is, you know, why does this always happen to me? Is something that people tend to say when they're in a bit of a rut. So what we do is we go, well, does it always happen to you? Is that really true?
Yeah.
Is it pervasive, in other words, the second P? And if it's not always happened to you, then that's something for you to dig yourself out and go, okay, actually, this doesn't always happen to me. It did happen to me this time, but it doesn't always happen to me. And finally, the third P is it permanent? And that can be very helpful to ask ourselves, is this forever? Is this going to never change? Is this forever? Am I going to be seriously like this forever? Am I never going to ever get a job again? Or can I never meet somebody else again? Or, you know, in the situation of somebody who has died, that is the horrible part, is that it is permanent. But it's not personal, you know, and it's not pervasive either. So in the sense that you have those three P's, they can, you might have one of the three P's, but you don't have all three. And that somehow tends to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
So I know we were going to divide this up into two sections.
Yeah, we're going to have to be done on our first section. I know there's a lot more to say, but final thoughts on the first section?
Well, what I would say is practicing optimism is not particularly, it won't come naturally, but it is easy once you get into it. And then you can learn to rewrite your story, or at least reframe what's happening to you. And the way you reframe is by asking yourself the three P's. Is it personal? Is it pervasive? Or is it permanent? And, you know, if you really are stuck in a rut somewhere, don't forget, go and get some help. Because there are psychotherapists all over the country, and some of them are extremely good. And you can really get some help.
And that's a good introduction to yourself, sir.
You don't have to come to me now.
Oh, no, but your insights are very, 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 very appreciated. So counsellor.ie is where we find you, isn't it, Ronan? Owen Connolly Counselling.
Yeah, Connolly Counselling, that's right, absolutely.
Well, Ronan, thanks for joining us. Look forward to picking this up again soon.
Brilliant.
Great
thanks,
stuff.
Tom.
Yeah, talk to you soon. God bless.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.